down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnow.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow, and you are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that will hopefully inspire you to think bigger, to step out of the box and do things that perhaps you haven't thought were even possible. And what I found in life is that sometimes we get kind of discouraged by the news that's going on in the world, and we sometimes give up, and I think the people that they're able to come back, and there's this expression that I heard years ago, I'm a sports fan, is that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But it's not easy for everybody. And resilience is there's so many books written on resilience, and it's something that people that are resilient seem to have an edge. And where does that resilience come from? So recently, in the travels that I have and the work I do, I was connected with Emma J. Bell. She's a retired judge from Scotland. And if anybody knows about resilience, it's Emma, because she has gone ahead and traveled around the world with her husband. They've interviewed 50 people that have not only survived under horrific circumstances, but they're thriving. And she's a fascinating person. I've had her on the show before, and I wanted to have her back and talk about what she's doing with the Global Resilience Project. So welcome Emma J. Bell to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Lovely to be back, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show.
So you heard what I said. So what? Tell me about resilience in terms of what do you think resilience is?
For me, resilience is the ability not just to bounce back from tragedy or adversity, but actually, within the definition of the Global Resilience Project, it's about bouncing forward. It's about being stronger than before. It's about being able to grow from the adversity that you've faced.
Mm-hmm. So to grow from the adversity that you see. So what I'm curious about is I think you do too, because I know you also have your own podcast, The Inside Shift, is that we teach what we want to learn. And so what I'm curious about you is that what motivated you? What was going on in your life that you decided to take on this project?
For me, Mark, there was really a convergence of a number of things. Like you, I was a litigation lawyer for nearly 20 years, and I dealt with clients day in, day out. And I noticed that some clients would be thriving, even though they had been through incredibly difficult times, but others were falling apart. And then when I became a judge, I also noticed from the bench that some of the claimants and the respondents in our courts were doing quite well despite having faced some really difficult tragedy, and yet others had endured the same or similar tragedy and their lives had fallen apart. They'd become defined by that tragedy. And then I became a coach around about 15 years or so ago, and I noticed that with some coaching clients they were resilient and others simply weren't. But really for me it's a question I've grappled with all my life. I had a fairly challenging upbringing, as many of your listeners will have done. And I noticed that whilst I chose my path, my brother chose an entirely different path. He ultimately became a heroin addict. And even when he beat the addiction to heroin, he remained addicted to other substances like alcohol and other drugs. And very sadly, he died in September of last year. just as I was about to embark on this journey around the world to meet these 50 thrivers. And so I've always been fascinated with how some of us are resilient and some of us aren't. And what we all now know from the neuroscientific research is that whereas we are born with our resilience set point, every single one of us can build our resilience circuitry. We can become more and more resilient. And what I've learned from these 50 thrivers is exactly what we can all do to build that resilience circuitry and not just survive in the face of challenge, but to strive, to bounce forward in the face of challenge and adversity, whether that's exceptional adversity or whether it's everyday challenge.
So how does you decide to do this project? I mean, you're obviously did you retire from being a judge first, or did you retire to take on this project?
So just so your listeners understand, I think they may have an image of me at a particular age because I retired as a judge. In fact, I still had, I'm only 48, and I had at least 23 years to fulfill in my judicial tenured position. When I looked to see if anyone had done research to understand whether there are common resilience strategies that those who thrive in the face of adversity use, I found that there was no research on the topic, and it was not possible for me to remain as a tenured judge and also carry out the research. So I reached a cross point in my life where I either had to decide to drop this obsession or to give up my judicial tenured position with its final salary pension scheme and everything else, and go on a journey around the world to find the answer to the question that I had been grappling with for most of my life. And I chose the latter. I chose to retire from my salary judicial position. I'm still very fortunate to judge a couple of days a month. So I'm what's called a fee paid judge, and I train judges in England and Wales, but I gave up my tenured position to do this research. And that was almost a couple of years ago now. And you know, Mark, I have no regrets. This journey has been one of the most remarkable things I have done in my career. And our aim with this project is to touch 10 million lives, and I am determined to do that. And day by day, I become even more convinced that we will.
Wow. So it's interesting that you use the phrase touch 10 million lives. I mean, how did you come up with that number? I'm just curious.
Well, I began
with... Why not 5 million or 20 million?
So I began, we were having a project meeting, and I always begin with why. Why is it I'm driven to do this work? And actually that question has been borne out with some of the findings on the project. But I digress. So why? And the why was, I want to serve, I want to make a difference. And someone said, well, how will you know you've made a difference? And you know, I said, well, it will be through feedback that we get about the project, through people reporting the difference that it's made in their lives. And someone said, well, how many lives do you want to change? And initially I said, well, 1 million. And right back at me, someone said, Emma, that is way too low a threshold. Once I get my teeth into something, and I'm really determined, and my history says that I'll make it happen. So I just said, okay, 10 million. 10 million, let's do that. Let's touch 10 million lives, which was audacious at the time it was set. It's audacious now, but it's far more likely to happen now given the progress that we've made on the project and the excitement that we're generating. And I know, I was always determined, but I now absolutely believe it will happen.
So you get this idea that of touching 10 million lives with, in terms of teaching them about resilience. And so you decided to interview 50 people from around the world. How did you go about who have had these horrific circumstances? How did you go about discovering who some of these people were?
Well, as you can imagine, we were almost a year in the planning for the project. So as I indicated earlier, I gave up my judicial role almost 2 years ago, and I put a team together. We have, for example, a psychologist former lecturer at Oxford University, an expert in resilience on the team. We have many other people on the team who are also vital, like our videographer, our cameraman, our editor, IT person, and so on. So I had to pull a team together. Then we had to get to researching. Well, we had defined terms, as you might imagine, Mark, as a lawyer. So we had to be clear about what we meant by thriving, what we meant by resilience, what we meant by a compelling story, and what we meant by surviving, and so on. And once we'd scoped the project in that way, we had to set about finding drivers throughout the world who met the definitions that we had arrived at on the project. And that took just time and application to do it. And we found in excess of 100 people. And then I set about writing to them all personally, introducing myself, giving a link to the project, its aims and vision. And then for those who were interested, we set up initial calls. I had initial calls with all of them just to make sure that they met all of the definitions. Chief among them was that their core value in contributing to the project had to be a desire to serve, because that's our core value on the project. And there were a few who didn't meet the criteria. And ultimately, that's how we found our 50. And then I have a huge map of the world in my office, and it is full of pins all over it, as you can imagine, because we had to just map out where all these people were and then just work out how we were going to schedule our various trips to meet them. And that was a lot of fun. And I'm delighted to say, Mark, as you mentioned earlier, that my husband, Graham, became our cameraman on the project, and he traveled with me. And that, of all of the decisions I've made, was the best one, because I have been forever changed through meeting people like you and other people on the project. And I'm so delighted that Graham is with me, because he too has been forever changed.
No, it's amazing that you took this on, and the fact that you literally have gone almost all over the world, right?
Well, pretty much. I mean, there's a couple of continents we wanted to get to, but we just could not get drivers in those continents to agree to engage in the project. And therein lies the cultural difference that I became acutely aware of, that there are certain cultures who are still in a place where talking about tragedy is just not okay among their community. And I'm sure that in a follow-up project, we'll be able to tackle that. But for now, we didn't quite get to all of the continents in the world.
What are some of the places that you actually travel to?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I think in all, we traveled to 24 states in America. We traveled all over Europe. We were in touch with people in Iceland. We were in touch with people in Australia. You know, we traveled over 35,000 miles,
Whoa.
Which is quite something. I'm sure I could have arranged a better air miles package than that, you know, but anyway,
wow.
Yeah, over 35,000 miles.
Well, you know, in all the work you've done, have you found certain qualities and characteristics in interviewing all these people that are core values or similarities in terms of these thrivers, in terms of were there certain commonalities in terms of practices they used?
Yeah, so what we found is that there are 9 resilience strategies that over 80% of our thriver group consistently cited as being key to their ability not just to survive in the face of adversity, but to thrive, to bounce forward. And we're calling these, our working title for these is the nine secrets to thriving. And so, for example, your listeners perhaps won't be that surprised to hear that one of those secrets is self-care. And I always cite that as the first secret. But within self-care, what we have are the most inspiring stories and really practical advice that you and I and any one of your listeners can apply right here, right now, to build our resilience. So these are self-care practices we can do right now to begin to change our brain chemistry. So that's what I love about this project. It is all the advice is so practical.
So these are, in other words, these practices and strategies have come from the people themselves that have actually, and you noticed from these 50 people that there were 9 of them that seemed to be the most prevalent.
Yeah, there were 9 that came through very, very strongly. I mean, you know, it got to the point where, obviously I'm asking open questions during these interviews, and it got to the point where we were maybe 2/3 of the way through, and Graham and I were sitting, and I was doing the interviews, and I was asking the questions that I normally ask the interviewees, and, you know, we were just hearing the same things coming through again and again, and that, for me, was so exciting. Because if we know that these 9 secrets have consistently enabled these 50 thrivers to overcome the most serious adversities, and we're talking about people who have survived terrorist attacks, people who've lost husbands and children in terrorist attacks, people who've lost limbs, people whose children have committed suicide, people who've been gang raped. I mean, those are 50 different kinds of adversities. And yet, consistently, we're hearing it's the same strategies that these people apply to enable them not just to survive, but to thrive, despite what has happened.
And could you share some of these strategies with us?
Sure. So I've already alluded to self-care as one of the secrets. Another of the secrets that came through consistently is this need for support, the right kind of support, and building connection in our relationship. So I'm going to give you the headlines just now, understanding that within each secret, there are maybe, you know, 8, 9, 10, perhaps more particular practices that apply. Another secret is this ability to choose your perspective in every situation. Another of the secrets is to find meaning and purpose. And actually, that particular secret has a wonderful simplicity about it. I know perhaps when your listeners hear the word purpose, they think it's complex. We learned on the project, in fact, it's not. But finding meaning and purpose is absolutely vital to thriving. Another secret that came through was the power of goal setting, but really great tips about what process one should use when setting goals and seeking to achieve goals. Another secret that came through was this idea of finding your calm place or practice and knowing what that is. So when you do get stressed or overwhelmed, you know what to do or where to go in order to plug yourself back in again. And because it's you, Mark, you're special, you're one of the thrivers, I'm going to give you all 9 of the secrets. One of the other secrets is this idea of authenticity, this idea of showing up and truly being yourself and dropping the script that you've been given. And again, very practical insights into what that actually means. Another practice is the practice of gratitude. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will already do that. But again, very practical examples of how our thrivers exercise the gratitude. And then this idea of understanding and forgiveness. So it's not just forgiveness. We found on this project that forgiveness is actually a fairly narrow concept. And what our thrivers were talking about was something much broader than that, this idea of understanding and non-judgment. So again, very practical advice that came through that particular secret. Well, so those are all 9.
So the one with forgiveness, could you kind of, what I came to, you know, in my own journey is that forgiveness is not condoning what the other person did, but it's letting go. It's letting go of what happened, because in a way, by doing that, because what happens is sometimes people hang on to stuff that happened 50 years ago. The person that they're angry about is already dead, and it's really for you to forgive. Is really for you. It's to let go, and move on with your life, and as opposed to, you're not really condoning the behavior. Some people think that if they forgive somebody, they're getting away, they're letting them get away with it. And I think that's a misconception that I found that people have.
And that came through very strongly in our research. I think it was Nelson Mandela who said that resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Right.
And yeah, and our thrivers consistently say that forgiveness is ultimately a selfish act. Some of the thrivers said, in fact, forgiveness is a destination that you arrive at only once you've judged the person. So that we had this insight from a significant number of the thrivers who said, actually, if you seek to understand that the person was doing the best they could with the thinking that we had at that time, you don't even get to the point of resentment, and therefore you don't need to go to the place of forgiveness. So that's something we explore in the book, in fact. And you know, that's a real brain buster, but there are incredibly inspiring stories from the thrivers that back that up. There was one interview I carried out with a Mr. Mark Susnell, and the insight I had from you, Mark, on one aspect of forgiveness has really stayed with me, and I'm going to write about this particular insight you had in the book. And it's this idea that it's okay if forgiveness is conditional, that forgiveness, even if you're going to use it to release you can still make it subject to a condition. And the condition that you spoke about in your own journey was that the idea of this person being sentenced. So that was hugely helpful. And actually, I've taken that as a distinct practice when I talk to people about our research findings and in writing the book.
Uh-huh. So tell us, the book, now you're going to have a book come out, and what's the Nine Secrets of, what's the book's title going to be?
Okay, so the answer to that, strictly speaking, is I don't know. The working title is Nine Secrets to Thriving. What I will say to your listeners is we have an ebook with all the self-care practices in it that's available for download right now for free. And so if your listeners wanted to have a look at some of the Thriver videos and download the ebook, they can go to emmajforjudgebell.com/the Global Resilience Project. But in terms of the book itself, we're in a very exciting phase. We had agents who were just so excited about this idea and a number of offers, and now we've got this wonderful agent in London who is really keen to get us published in the UK and the US to begin with, and then ultimately Japan and China. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have those deals in place. But the book itself, with all of the Nine Secrets, won't be out until early 2020, so probably springtime 2020. In the meantime, though, if your listeners want to hear about the secrets and the progress of the project, then as I say, we can go on to emmajbell.com/the Global Resilience Project. And on there will be videos and resources, and we'll keep people posted on the progress, and we'll do more ebooks.
So again, that's emmajbell.com/resilience
/the Global Resilience Project. So emmajbell.com/the Global Resilience Project, and they'll see an image of the book that they can click on, and they can click through to see the Thriver videos, including the video interview that I did with you, Mark. And I'll give you the password for those videos, because a secret password, and the password is 9 Secrets to Thriving.
Uh-huh. And that way also they can get on your mailing list too.
Exactly.
And weekly updates of your interviews and insights, and they could even, and I know you have your own mailing list, right, with the Inside Shift, where they get every week they get a inspirational suggestion quote from you. So how do they do that? Do they just go to Emma J. Bell?
Yeah, so if they sign up for the ebook, then they will from that point on receive my quote of the week on the Monday, which everyone loves. I always get lots of emails every Monday telling me how much they love that quote. And then on a Thursday, I send out videos, I send out blogs, I send out insights into resilience and practical suggestions about how to thrive. So if they sign up for the ebook, they'll automatically get those resources every week from me.
Wow. So Emma, thank you so much for your contribution to obviously, you know, our show and our listeners, but to those 10 million people that you're determined to touch and to move and to inspire. I know that it's a bold project that you've taken on and courageous, inspirational, and wow, it inspires me to because I know a lot of times, you know, we want to make difference and we don't know how to do it. And sometimes, you know, we take on big things instead of little things. I always say, take one step at a time. And I'm sure you're doing that with this project, taking one step at a time. But it's to have such a big vision like you do is amazing. And what I'm also impressed by is the fact that your husband has also partnered with you in this project and taken this on, and it's certainly already made a difference in many people's lives and continue to make a difference. So thank you so much for who you are.
That's really kind of you to say that, Mark. And let me just share one practice on goal setting. Many of the thrivers said setting goals is really important, but what's most important is setting a goal that inspires you and do something every day toward that goal. And this goal inspires me. And I'm so lucky that Graham, my husband, is my own number one supporter on the project. So he keeps me inspired as well.
Wow. So thank you so much, Emma J. Bell, and thank you for listening to the Inspire Possibility, all that you do. And as you know, every week we have many, many individuals that grace our presence. And in the meantime, journey on.
Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.